Ooh, GMAT. Yay.
Hello and welcome to the fourth episode of the GMAT podcast. Today's episode is brought to you by Tiny Build, the independent developer and publisher. But I'll talk more about them later. I'm by myself today. It's been a bit of a fucked week. So getting together the group to do, or just getting someone organized to do the podcast has been impossible. I'm trying to, as a lot of you know, I stopped working at this, for this show, this touring show. So I'm in like that annoying middle area of between jobs. And I've got some work lined up in 3 weeks, but until then, I'm just driving Uber to pay my rent. And because I'm doing that, that leaves me very reliant on my car. And as a lot of you know, my car is a giant pile of fucking shit. So the start of this week, you know, I was like, all right, I've got some money there. If I make about $100, that'll cover my rent. That'll cover the rest of my rent. I'm going to turn my phone off. If I make about $100 to cover the rest of my rent. Oh, shit, my car is spewing coolant out. That's an issue. I'll pop it on down to the mechanic, see what he reckons. Takes one look at it and he goes, yeah, right there. See that massive fucking hole in your fuel pump? That's leaking out. He says, replace that. That'll be fine. So he replaces it and $280. And I'm like, well, fuck me dead. The $280 is a good chunk out of my rent. So now I have like 5 days to find plus the $380, which as an adult human who isn't working, when someone says, fine, $380, it's in 5 days, I feel like I've got fucking mafia breathing down my goddamn neck. $380 in 5 days with no income is not easy. So I've been doing that, trying to fucking drive Uber enough to get this goddamn money together. But I should be well in, 2 weeks or 3 weeks when I'll start a bit of part-time work until just the usual gig, do a bit of part-time work until the agent calls and books me another job, you know. Keep chugging along with GMAT, of course. A sea of just trying to pay my bills and doing odd jobs and then the occasional acting job popping up, GMAT is the only constant, the thing that is, you know, that I come back to and I know exactly what's going on. And it's, you know, I love it, to be honest. I love getting down and editing videos and sending it out. And I'm like, it's one of those things that I hope could become a source of income one day, because shit, it's good to do. I'm good at it and people enjoy the content and, you know, it's hard work. So it's like, All the stones are there for it to become a job. I just can't fucking place them. But it'll come along, you know. I'm working the grind as usual, trying to get the content out and get it pushed to the right people and that. There's been this fucking annoying thing that YouTube's done in the, that they've been trialing, that they want to do, is, as some of you know, you get on YouTube and basically YouTube, there's like the recommended feed and the trending feed and all the stuff that YouTube puts out there, and nobody knows how that works. There is no guide, there's no algorithm, or there's no a person who's explained, here's how this works, here's how we pick this, here's how we find the videos that are trending, you know. It's this mystery that is obviously just YouTube feeding you the content, the crap, the clickbait, the stuff that people will watch, the $100 versus $1 videos and BuzzFeed and fucking people react to, like all that shit that people that I always find myself clicking on when I'm scrolling through Facebook. I'm like, oh, that sounds interesting. Just the crap, you know, the stuff that'll bump up the watch time for YouTube. So however they work that algorithm to get that stuff out, they don't put forward content that's good. Not that the content that they put forward is bad. A lot of it, like some of it is great, but they're not doing it because it's great. They're doing it because of stats. So they're not taking the time to go, this is a great video. We should put this, we should pump this out. Or when you're watching some videos and it'll say, here's one, up next, recommend this. No one understands how that works. The one thing that you can control on YouTube, that you can control your own, your what you watch, is your subscriber feed. So you subscribe to channels, click that big red button, and you have your subscriber feed. You can also click the bell to say, I want to be notified. I want to get a notification when this person uploads a video. So you get sent a notification on your phone or on your computer or whatever. Or you can just go to your subscriber feed and see the list of videos that all your subscribers have put out in chronological order. Now that's important. Remember that it's the chronological order that really helps you out, because then you know, all right, because people treat YouTube as they would a television series or anything like that. Like myself, I get on there, you know, every 3 days and I go, okay, I'm going to sit down for an hour or 2 hours and watch all my favorite YouTubers' videos. This is my binge, my television series I'm watching today. That's how I treat it and how a lot of people treat it, you know. You're watching all this different content, but you're there to binge your favorite content. Or some people have a lot of time and they go, oh, I think I uploaded a video, I'll watch it right now. But if you don't have time, like I do, you want to sit down in your evening with a drink and watch your videos. That's how I treat it. And I could do that by going, all right, 3 days ago, scroll. That was the last video I watched 3 days ago. Start from here, rah, watch them all, bottom to top. So that was all fine. But now YouTube is testing out a new algorithm. Sorry, I shouldn't say algorithm. That's the wrong term. They're just fucking with things. They're saying, okay, you've picked your subscribers you want to watch, but we're going to set out your subscription feed the way that we see fit. So even within your subscription feed, you know, if you're subscribed to 50 channels and you watch them all, now it's going to be like, okay, you subscribed to PewDiePie, let's put him up the top, or you subscribed to I don't know, some fucking BuzzFeed thing about whatever that parody channel is, you know, the stuff that YouTube pumps forward. So they're going to be putting that at the top of your subscription feed, or in the primary of your subscription feed, and hiding, you know, people like me, or people that YouTube doesn't like, or people that they're going to be hiding us down the bottom. So even when we get subscribers, that's how you get views. That's how you get, it's not let me increase my views on YouTube, it's let me increase my subscribers, because from the subscribers I get views. I'm like, I want these people to like my content so much that they want to see more, and then they will see more. They'll see it come up on their channel, their thing. I don't want people to go and see my viral video, watch it, and then they'll never see any of my content again. Yeah, it's good to have something like the Jimmy video get to 100,000 views or whatever, but it's better to have 10 people subscribe, and then those 10 people will come back and watch more videos. Anyways, so because of that, that's the way that we grow small YouTubers, and I can't grow if the only way to grow is being stunted by YouTube themselves. It's stressful. It's like, That's how, like, I know as my subscriber feed goes up, I'm chugging along, I'm working the grind, I'm getting bigger and bigger and bigger, and I thought something was going on. I was getting real bummed out because my subscriber feed is going up, but I'm also battling a sort of up and down here at the moment. My subscriber feed is fluctuating because YouTube go through this patch where they'll start deleting dummy accounts or deleting accounts that don't exist or whatever. So I'll see, you know, I rarely lose subscribers, and then there'll be a 2 week patch where I'll lose 40 or 50 subscribers. And because I sort of grow, you know, in a consistent fashion, I'll get two, lose one, get one, lose two, get four. Like I'll be just fluctuating around this one number, and then I have to wait for that to stop, and then I'll start growing again. So I've been dealing with that as well. But as I see my subscriber go up, which it is, it goes up, you know, every day, every couple of days, I'm going and getting bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger. But over the last 3 or 4 weeks, even 2 weeks, my views have been going down. And that is so disheartening. I saw it was like, you know, on average, I'd sit at about 500 views, 7,000 subscribers, 500 views. And then even as I go back, some of those videos that were on 500 views that like, because I'll look at the videos, I'll look at probably the last 4 videos I've made. And then when I make a new one, the 4th video bumps back and I don't look at it very much. Like I don't check the comments and I don't blah, 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 blah. So I see, you know, once I lose a video in my mind, like in my, because I can see 4 videos at a time on my dashboard. So once one disappears, it's gone. But it's usually at about 500 views. And then I'll come back to it later and it could be at 600, 800 views. Some of them get to 1,000 because they just, you know, people see them more. It's more popular. But the last few videos was like my 4th video. The oldest was 400 views. The next one was like 380. The next one was like 300. And then the one I've just uploaded 3 days ago was at like 250 views. It's just like it's going down. And they don't look like they're going to grow up to that 500 mark by the time they reach that 4th position on my own dashboard feed. And I'm like, you know, that fucking, that garage video, the Tony Benoni video, was good. It was great content. It was one of my favorite videos I've made in a while. Like, I like all my videos. I don't put out videos that I don't think are good, which is true. I've scrapped videos plenty of times, but that was a particularly good video, and it's got like the lowest views of the last 10 videos, and I can't work out why my it's going lower. You know, I'll put a video out on Facebook of some fucking just 2 minutes segment of my video, and it'll get up to 2,000 or 3,000 views, and I can't get people to click back. But that's not how it works. That's not, I put all this stuff on Facebook as a feed, you know. You got to work social media. You got to put out, you know, 2 or 3 things every day. Keep people, you know, reminded that you exist, that sort of bullshit. But at the same time, it doesn't really do much for my channel. I don't see a lot of connection between Facebook and YouTube. As much as I'd want it, it's like people aren't... Even when I publish a video from YouTube on my Facebook page, the reactions it receives and from what I see from the stats doesn't compare to when I just put a video on Facebook of my cat or something. So it's like there's these two different worlds. So for YouTube, I rely on my subscribers. And right now, YouTube is fucking me in the ass with my subscribers. Not to everybody. They're testing it out on a few people. But people have been like, said to Twitter, yo, what's going on? Why can't I see my YouTube feed in chronological order? And they're like, we're trying to test out this new fucking thing because we're a bunch of fucking dickheads. We're trying to, what is the word they keep using? I can't remember. It's what they've been doing for the last 3 years, trying to, you know, make the smart YouTube, the better YouTube. But it doesn't, all it does is punish people who make original content. I don't want to say it like that because a lot of the channels that YouTube favors aren't garbage, aren't BuzzFeed, aren't you know, People React. Fucking, it's not all shit. Okay, YouTubers have a habit of making other channels, talking down other channels based on how YouTube treats them. Like, if YouTube treats you well, you're the fucking goody two-shoes, nerdy content, fucking following the trends bullshit. You're not making original stuff, but that's not always true. But a lot of the time it is. So I'm not going to shit on everyone who's, you know, getting teacher's approval. But it does punish those who make original content, who make, you know, content that's a bit, you know, has swearing and a bit more, you know, it's not so fucking, God, it's not so fucking vanilla. That's one of the everything that people put out is so goddamn vanilla. And you can't fucking swear in a video and have YouTube treat you like any other content creator. It's fucking swearing. I mean, what year are we living in? It's fucking ridiculous. So I'm as equally excited as I am for the future of GMAT, I don't know how far it's going to go. I don't know at what point, because I'm trying to grow and YouTube is just bumping me back and punishing me consistently for trying to make original content that isn't aimed at 10-year-olds, you know? It's, I mean, if you're 10 and you're watching, thank you, but God, that sounded pedophile-y. But fucking, it's, yeah, it scares me that I have this thing that I'm loving doing and people are enjoying, but is it going to last? Am I going to get so beaten down by YouTube and the algorithm and the stats and what YouTube recommends that I'm just going to go, why am I bothering? Why am I bothering at this? Anyways, that's a sad note. Something I've been thinking about for a few days, actually. I'm like, and don't get me wrong, I'm going to continue to make content for years. It's something I like doing. I'm enough of a narcissist that having people watch my shit keeps me going. It's like, yeah, it's just the thought, the what ifs, the how is this going to be in 2 years? Am I going to have 100,000 subscribers? Am I going to have 10,000? Am I going to have a million? Like, I don't know what the future is, but all I know is that YouTube might be dying, and what's the next platform, basically? What's the next step for me to turn this into income, to turn this into something that justifies the amount of time I put into this? Because I put a lot of time into this, and until you make an income, some people look at you like a fucking fool, like a goddamn idiot, and think, wait, why are you doing this? You fucking, you know, this isn't a real job. This isn't what you should be putting your time into. And I'm like, settle the fuck down. I'm trying to build something, basically, at the end of the day, is what I'm trying to do. I'm trying to build something. Hey, I've done it again. I've done the exact same transition. But speaking of building, we'd like to remind you, I'd like to remind you that this episode of the GMAT podcast is brought to you by the independent developer and publisher Tiny Build, who made games like Hello Neighbor, Speedrunners, Cluster Truck, Guts and Glory, one of my favorites, Party Hard, and Punch Club. They just released their latest top-down horror game, Garage, on the Switch, which you can watch a video of mine on. So make sure to check that out. For more information, follow at TinyBuild on Twitter or/and visit tinybuild.com. Thank you, TinyBuild, for supporting this episode of the GMAT podcast. That's another thing that you know, keeps you going. When these developers like TinyBuild are so supportive of small YouTubers, you know, I had that one video go viral, and sure, that caught their attention and had them, you know, send me a couple messages, but I haven't been viral. I've been viral twice since then, but not for their content, you know, and they still support me. You know, I'm in contact with one of the team members, Yulia, who constantly helps me out and checks out my content and, you know, sends me product codes and that sort of stuff to try out their things. And Alex over there, who's the CEO, he's chatted with me a few times about stuff and making content and all that. And, you know, they're a good team, and they share my stuff on their Facebook. You know, I'm a big fan of them. Let's stop talking about fucking depressing shit like the future of GMAT and YouTube, and let's talk about God of fucking War. My good fucking God, what an incredible game that was. I finally finished it. I'm going to talk about God of War freely now. And then I'll end the podcast. So if you haven't finished God of War and you don't want any spoilers, thanks for watching. I would recommend turning off here, because I will talk about it. But make sure before you go that you head over to YouTube and subscribe to the real GMAT, and hit that little bell. That'd be fucking fantastic. So goodbye to you people. Goodbye. See ya. This is your last warning. Ciao. All right. Now that it's just the adults, let's fucking gross. God of War was so fucking good. I have a feeling if I played it on like a regular difficulty, like normal, it would have been a bit of a rush, and fighting enemies wouldn't have been so stressful. But what I enjoyed about playing in hard mode was every battle was like a was there was a lot of thinking going on, and there was a lot of I really had to concentrate. I really had to focus. It was difficult, and the difficulty was one of my favorite parts of the game. So I wonder if playing in a regular difficulty, I would have thought, well, the game's okay, but it's not great, you know. The story also was fantastic. Set us up for a sequel. Atreus is Loki. Is he Loki, or was he named after Loki? That's my, you know, is he going to become Loki because he is a god, or has Loki already existed, you know, in this Norse mythology, and he was named after Loki? But I feel like he would have said, you know, Kratos would have been like, well, Loki was bloody the god of blah, 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 blah. And that's why, like, he just said Loki, you know, strange name. So, yeah, Atreus, is he going to be the god of mischief? Something some people don't know is that the game ends, you get the credits, and it says, okay, you can go and do this, you can go and do that, you should go and kill the Valkyries, blah, 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 blah. But what it doesn't tell you is, if you go back to your home, you get the true ending of the game, which is you go to sleep, you wake up a few years later, and knocking on the door is your boy Thor, waiting to fucking smash your fucking head in with a hammer. So wet. I'm so ready. So they're really putting their fingers in us for a sequel, getting us ready for what could come. The realms you visit all those 8 realms, and then there's like 3 that you can't visit, that are just locked. And I'm like, is this going to be like a DLC? Is the game gonna be exactly the same location? Like, you're still in... That's one of those things. I'd be totally okay if the second game was the exact same world, and you're just doing something different in that world. You've still got Niflheim and Midgard, blah, 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 blah. Because at the end of the game, it's frozen now, so everything's a little different. Pick up the second game from there. I don't care. Having an understanding of the world doesn't make me feel shit. I'm like, okay, cool. Second game, you know? And now we got to go to these 3 new realms, bloody all this different shit. I'd love it, you know, to be honest. Pick the second game up from there. I don't give a shit. Do that. I started killing the Valkyries. I got up to the Queen Valkyrie, and she had, you know, a purple health bar. And in hard mode, I was like, absolutely no fucking way. I'm going to go upgrade my equipment. There's the that fire realm, Muspelheim, and Niflheim, which is the fog realm, the gas realm. So I was doing the challenges for the fire realm. So you go through, there's 6 stages, and in each stage you do a regular difficulty challenge and a hard difficulty challenge, which are both hard. Sometimes the harder ones are easier than the normal. So you do those, and then you kill a Valkyrie. And then you go back, and you can do an impossible challenge for each one to collect keys. So I started doing those. I did them all. Got 3 keys, even though I did them all. I just wanted to see what the other ones were. Then went up to the top, did that thing where you have to kill 60 whatever enemies to get gold. So you have like stages. After you've gotten the keys from doing the impossible challenges, you get up there to the top of the mountain again. And it's like, okay, here's a challenge. You can get bronze, silver, or gold in this challenge. If you get bronze or silver, you lose your keys. You get the rewards for bronze or silver. And then if you want to go back up and try again to do gold, you have to do 3 impossible challenges again to get those keys to retry. So it's a fucking pain in the ass. Luckily for me, on my first go, I got gold. I killed whatever it was, 50 of the enemies to get gold. And then you have to do it again. And I'm like, oh shit, what's the next challenge going to be? So I do it again. I get 3 keys. I go up there. And now the new challenge, and I've Googled, this is the last challenge I have to do, but the equipment I get from it will be good. But it's for gold, you have to kill 35 enemies without getting touched, without getting hurt at all, which, as those who know playing in hard mode, is fucking impossible. And the enemies you fight, like, you do that down, one of the first impossible challenges you do is kill 20 enemies without getting hurt. But it's very, you know, you can work it out. Like, there's a way to get it done. But these enemies are particularly fucking hard for the 35 one. So I got to 8, got bronze, cracked the shit, threw my controller, and said, nah, do it again another time. So that's what I'm doing in God of War at the moment. I want to get that 35, get that gear, and then I'll go kill Queen Valkyrie. And then I've basically done everything. I've nearly collected all the ravens. I'm working through the realm tears in Niflheim. They're the last ones I got to do. I want to restart the game and play in God of War difficulty, just because this 100%ing nonsense isn't usually what I'm about. So I'm like, why bother? But at the same time, I want to kill that fucking queen bitch. And to kill that queen bitch, I really should upgrade my equipment. I'm sure I can do it. If I try it a bunch of times in the current state I'm in, I could probably get it done, yeah. What else I'm excited for is, here's the other thing I've been playing. I've been playing H1Z1, or Hizzy, whatever people call it, on the PS4. Now, it is a pile of garbage, but it's like, it's fun. It's free. I can play it with my mates who have PS4s and don't have PCs. And it's really easy to just, it's like, I fucking hate Fortnite, okay? Fortnite is a game for children. I worked this gig where I toured for 3 months performing Aladdin to children in a pantomime. And what I used to do is I used to find any point in the show where I could say the word Fortnite, or be like, there's this bit where I used to go, like, oh man, I can't wait to surf. Do any of you guys like surfing? And people will be like, yes, I like surfing. And they put their hand up. And I was like, this is a boring part of the show. So one day I was just like, oh man, do any of you guys like Fortnite? And it was like I fucking pulled a gun out. They lost their goddamn minds, went off their shit. And then at the end of the show, there's a question time. And every single question, it's usually like, how did you paint the sets? Or like fucking, how did you make the carpet fly? Like all that sort of nonsense. Are the swords real? But this time was, do any of you guys play Fortnite? What's your KDR? Blah, 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 blah. Like it was, it's a game for children and children love it. And adult human beings that really, really love Fortnite, I can't get around you people because I don't know. Actually, you know what? I don't know why I hate Fortnite so much, but I've never liked it. I was playing PUBG for however long. And then Fortnite came out and it was free and people turned over to it and it started becoming the most watched on Twitch. And I was like, I felt like PUBG was my child and this other kid had come in and just started doing everything my child could do but better and making my child feel like garbage. And I was like, what the fuck? But honestly, PUBG is better. It's just the better game. It's more consuming. It's more, it's just better. Why the fuck am I justifying this? it's a stronger game and it's a lot funner. Not saying Xbox version had a lot of problems, but playing on the PCs, yeah. Another thing Fortnite has that drives me fucking crazy is the building. I can't understand it. It's like Counter-Strike. I try to play Counter-Strike and I'm playing with people who've been playing for 10 years and have perfected it. And you can't even get a kill in because these people are like machines. So when I go into Fortnite, I want to play a battle royale where the focus is get the gear, be the better shot, you know, be the better fighter, be better at getting cover, using your equipment, you know, perfect, mastering the battle royale world is what I like about PUBG, and I'm getting there, you know, I can get my chicken dinners, blah, 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 but in Fortnite, you're mastering the building, and I'm like, I can't do it, I don't understand the building, it's a controller, my hands don't move that goddamn fast, it's like, the battle royale doesn't matter, because the second you start shooting someone, they build a fucking mausoleum around themselves. It's, and I can't, and that isn't fun to me. I don't find that feature fun. I don't find that feature interesting. That's a part of the game I hate, which makes it very difficult for me to enjoy Fortnite. So that's another reason. I can't get around the building. So when H1Z1 came out on the PlayStation, this is good. I've got like it's more of a PUBG-esque battle royale. There isn't a gimmick like building. It's just collect guns, get to the center of the map, kill more people, survive. That's what I like. I'm a simple man, you know? I want a simple, straightforward concept to bash my way through. So I've been playing a lot of that, and I've been having a lot of fun. having it just there on the PlayStation, it makes it very easy to enjoy, as much as it is buggy and laggy. And the other game I'm excited for, No Man's Sky. But don't, hold on. Shush. People think, when you talk about No Man's Sky and people talk about buying it, like, oh, you got suckered by No Man's Sky, did you? You got fucking suckered, eh? They were like, oh, mate, you're a dickhead. I'm like, shut the fuck up. It's like, if you didn't get suckered by No Man's Sky, it's because you didn't care. You weren't like, no one was sitting there on their high horse going, yeah, No Man's Sky, you're right. Multiplayer, as if they got, no one knew that they were lying. The concept they were putting forward, they were straightforward with us. They told us everything. They said, here's this game. And I said, what? I can be on a planet, build a spaceship, look up in the sky and see a moon, and fly there without loading screens. Just go. Just fly from this planet to a goddamn moon. And I thought, and I fucking love space. It's like one of those things I love space since I was a kid. So any game that's set in space and something like that where I can jump, you know, I can jump galaxies and I can visit all these different planets and it's just totally open world and I go down and I check out all these different worlds. What an incredible concept. What an incredible idea for a game. So no, I didn't get fucking duped. I didn't get fucking fooled. I just believed the developer and it wasn't, you know, releasing gameplay footage that was edited or they weren't attempting to trick us, obviously. They were just lying. So when I pull out the game and I see, you know, I can't do anything in the world, can't build anything. The worlds are basically the same. You see a lot of the same shit. The randomly generated animals don't always work. You're not getting big dinosaurs. You're getting, you know, a little worm that's got a foot on its head. Like, and then the biggest kick in the nuts was that it wasn't multiplayer, that it wasn't, you couldn't, you weren't, they said you can run into other players and you all share the same world, but the universe is so massive. It was something like billions and billions and billions or trillions of planets. The world is so massive that the likelihood of you running into another player is one in a billion. Why would you say that? Why would you just not say you won't? Because someone's going to find you out. So then naturally, two people, very luckily, end up in the same planet, find the same thing, go to the exact same location, and they don't see each other, obviously. Put that forward, and they go, oh, yeah, well, it's not really multiplayer. It's just like a shared multiplayer universe, but you can't see each other. And I was like, you fucking dickheads. Why even? The biggest lie I've ever heard in gaming. It was absolute nonsense. So that was a kick in the nuts. But now, finally, whatever, like 3 or 4 years later, maybe 2 years later, they're adding multiplayer so you can see other people and you can play with other people. So I've already got it on my PlayStation. I had it digitally, so I've got it forever. So I'm really, really excited to get back into it. And there's other features they've got. They've got cars on the ground. They've got, you can build bases and stuff now. I'm pretty keen, actually, to stick my nose back into it and just see what they've done. It's like, they had such a great concept, and I played it, and just like I said, look up at the sky, see a moon, fly to that moon in my rocket was one of the greatest experiences I've ever had in a game. I was like, why has no one done this before? I feel like I'm flying through space, I can see where I want to go. The planets are huge, like it's literally a planet, and any game of that scale gets my little dicky pretty fucking hard. So I got sucked, yeah, I got duped in by that, by the gimmick of that. But, you know, awesome concept. Now fill in the gaps. Give us stuff to do. Let us build bases, you know? Which they are. So I'm going to give that another go and be fair about it. I will give them a good go of it. That's basically all I've got to talk about. And I tell people to go and I would only talk about God of War. So I will shut my mouth. Thank you so much, guys, for watching this episode of the podcast. Supporters, one of the best things you can do for me is share a video on Facebook. Get a friend to subscribe. And obviously subscribe and hit that bell and watch my videos. It's more important, you know, watch my stuff, comment, say g'day. It's what an awesome community we've built already. And it gets bigger every day and people, you know, people are still liking and commenting. So everyone asks you to do this when you watch a video, say thumbs up and share and you enjoy the video. But as a small YouTuber, really go the extra mile for me if you could, and give me a thumbs up, give me a share, leave a comment, put my videos on playlists when you go to sleep. I don't care. Do whatever you can do to help me, and I'll continue to make great content for you guys. Thank you so much. You guys, enjoy being awesome.
The podcast you just heard was recorded with Anchor. If you want to make your own, download the Android or iOS app completely free from anchor.fm/podcast. That's anchor.fm/podcast.